Well, good morning. It's so good to be with you, those that are at home, for the small group that we have here. It's good to be together, good to see everyone. Makes you long for the 21st, doesn't it, where we can start seeing everybody. But we're so grateful, and we're so grateful that we've been blessed with a time that we can do this and be a part, and our hearts be engaged to God, and that we can offer up song and prayer. We can study from God's Word, and I pray you've come with a heart of faith in order to receive and to be able to move closer to the Lord. This morning, I titled the lesson, What Should Be Our Ambition? We're going to see that. We'll be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. And I thought it was a timely lesson, especially through the times that we are coming through presently. And I pray that it affects your heart in the way the Lord intends it to affect your heart. When Jesus sent those apostles out into all the world to preach that gospel, He told them, making disciples of all the nations. We are the result of the preaching of that gospel to all creation. We are those disciples. For you and I were baptized into the name of Jesus. We wear His name. And because of that, when we were baptized into Christ, we were raised with Him. And we were seated with Him now, where Christ is. Ephesians 2:6 tells us that. One of the things for the disciples that Jesus prayed for was in John chapter 17. And in that prayer in verse 14, He said, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. And He said, but, in verse 15, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. As disciples of Jesus, as people in Christ, we live in a world. And Jesus' own prayer was that we're not part of them. In fact, Jesus went on to describe back in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 13 and 14, that His disciples would be the salt of the earth. We would be the light among the world of darkness. All of these elements come together because we belong to Jesus. We're light in the Lord. We are light of the world. We're not part of the darkness. We're the salt of the earth. We're to make a difference in the lives of people. We're to add flavor and goodness in this world. And so because of what His disciples are to be, what I want to show you this morning in introducing all of this, I want to show you we need to be living on a higher level. We need to be seeking higher things, not the things that are on the earth. You know, Paul reminded the brethren at Colossae in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. He said, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ Jesus, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Our seeking, our drive in life, is to continue to seek the things above. We need to live on a much higher level than everyone else is around us, because we are light, because we are salt, because that we have got to help people overcome. You want to change this world? You get people to Jesus. That's the goal through the whole thing. Well, in order for us to move to a higher level, we're going to see two things that we must do here found in 1 Thessalonians 4. And the first one we're going to see is found in verse 9. He tells us, Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. What does he tell the church here? Thessalonica is a little bitty place, you know. Paul didn't get to spend much time there. And the first thing he points them to is that as to the love of the brethren, you and I need to be practicing love. And Paul said, you know, I really don't need to write anything to you about that. And here's why. He says, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. They're taught by God. You want to learn love? You want to learn really how to love? You can't get it from the world. The world only knows a self-centered, self-type love. In order for you and I to love, and that's what we're called to do, in order for us to do it, he says, you were taught by God. God is the one that teaches us what love really is. We see that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. He says that the nature of God is love, that love is from God. And so it's the characteristic of God is to love. So if we're going to be taught by God, then we need to see love from His perspective. And the best way for us to see how do we love people is through ourselves being forgiven. Through forgiveness. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse 16, he tells us this. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. You see, in a world of darkness, people lay down other people's lives. If you want to be taught by God what love is, God is love, that's His nature. And we know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. When you and I look at Jesus, when we look to Jesus, we see the nature of God, the love of God exemplified. And He said, you see that right there? That's how you need to learn how to love. You need to sacrifice your life on behalf especially of your brothers and sisters. And so the first thing we're called for is that we need to love. Now as to love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. Just because we talk about the cross, just because we talk about the love of God, you and I need to excel in that because it's not something that you just learn from memory. It's something that you continually strive for. It's something you continually grow in. Excel still more. He said, for indeed you practice it. You see, this love has to be practiced to be able to put into our lives. And so you and I need to practice this kind of love. And we need to have a greater striving. We need to excel in it. Each of you here need to excel in it more with your family. Each of us here need to excel in it more with each other. Each of you at home need to excel in your homes and toward your brothers and sisters. Excel still more. We're not complete in the work of love. And so for us to move to a higher level of living, the first thing we have to do is love and excel in it. The second thing that he brings up for us is found in verse 11. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your own hands just as we commanded you. And make it your ambition. You know, people set goals A lot of times people have a lot of goals. Maybe you have some. But your primary goal, your primary ambition are three things. When we talk about ambition, the word literally means to take aim at, to aspire for. You and I need to make it our ambition in these areas if you're going to live on a higher level. Here's what he says first in verse 11. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You know what Christians are to do? You know what he calls us to do? Lead a quiet life. That word quiet literally means a life that is free from inner turmoil. Sometimes people are just boiling inside and they just can't seem. There's no quietness to them. Our goal, our aim, our ambition in life is to lead a quiet life. That's what the Lord is calling you and I to do. Not to be stirring, not to be creating. You know, if you go back and you read through Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew 15, Jesus has just been preaching and teaching at the temple. The disciples come to Jesus and they said, you know the things that you taught? The Pharisees were upset at you for it. Jesus told His own disciples, leave them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. They'll both fall into the pit. Leave them alone. I want you to have some quietness and peace in your life. I don't want you to try to straighten out everything. That's not the goal of Christianity. Our goal as disciples of Jesus is to live on a higher level. And that means we need to learn to lead a quiet life, a life that is tranquil and peaceful within our being. Well, one of those things, come over if you would to 1 Timothy chapter 2, just a couple of pages over. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll see this exemplified even greater. He says in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 2, first of all, then I urge entreaties and prayers and petition and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Do you see what the Apostle Paul calls? You know what? We need to be praying. We need to be making entreaties, petitioning God. You know, we need to have an attitude of thanksgiving for all men, but especially for the kings and those who are in authority that make decisions. Why should we be praying for that? He said, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. You know, when we talk about tranquil, we're talking about free from outer disturbances. In other words, there's no molestation from people or no molestation from kings and authorities. Now, you got to remember when he's talking about this. We're talking about people that lived under Nero, people that lived under Domitian, two of the most evil and ungodly emperors that ever ruled on the face of this earth. There's been a lot of them. But that was written under these kings, these emperors. And they were killing Christians. They were rounding them up. They were using them as sport in the Colosseum. They were using them for lighting and, you know, torching them, setting them on fire to light courtyard. I mean, just evil. Homosexuality was open practice. You know what we're called to do? You and I are called to pray for these people. Pray for them so that we can live a life that is tranquil, that's free from these outer disturbances, and quiet. That's the same root word as what we see in 1 Thessalonians 4. Quiet. free from inner turmoil. That you and I, he said, can lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. You see, a lot of times people try to declassify, if you want to call it that, the disciples of Jesus. We need to live in some dignity. And we need to be praying for such people. And so our ambition in life, you and I need to take aim that this is what we do, that we need to learn how to think in terms of what does the Lord want us to do rather than being led into reactions and stirred by the world. Jesus' prayer, keep them from the evil one. Let me tell you what's easy to do. As we hear all this stuff going on around us, you go back and you look at Galatians chapter 5, verses we're familiar with. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, he calls them the deeds of the flesh. And if we practice the deeds of the flesh, he said, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. You're not going to make it in. And you know what the deeds of the flesh are? Some of them. Strife. Outbursts of anger. Dissensions. All these hindrances. You look at all of that, that's not quiet and tranquil. There's no leading a quiet life. See, the reason we can get easily stirred, and all of us can, because our flesh wants to get in the way. And boy, we want to make a stand, and we want to do this, and we want to do that. Because it stirs my flesh. And I like it when I can do that. But God says, I want you to get away from what your normal is. We need to move to a higher level of living. You and I are lights in the world. We're salt of the earth. We're to try to help people live on a higher level and see Jesus. So they'll work off of His love. Our ambition, our aim in all of this is to lead a quiet life. Pray for those in authorities. That's what we need to be doing. So we can lead a tranquil, quiet life in dignity and in godliness. Well, come back to 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at the second thing right quick. He says in verse 11, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business. You know what the Lord is calling us to do? To attend to your own business. The things that you need to be taking care of in your life, that you need to be taking care of in your home, the things that you need to be taking care of just within you. You need to attend to your business. See, we're talking about living on a higher level. We're talking about, you know, our aim in life. What if, church, if we would do this and make this our ambition to not only lead a quiet life, but a life of our own business, attending to that. Look over at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 real quick. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, one quick verse, and we'll come on through. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 11, there were some brethren at Corinth. They weren't working. They were being lazy. They were undisciplined. You need to work. Look at what Paul tells them in verse 11. He says, for we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now, when we talk about a busybody literally means meddling into other people's affairs. And my, how easy is that for people to do? I mean, you want to find out the latest going on. You want to find out what other people are doing. Sometimes you got no business finding out what other people are doing because it upsets you. And there's nothing peaceful and quiet about that. It creates an inner turmoil. Well, when you and I, if we would quit acting like busybodies and start taking care of your own business, you see, when you don't do any work, that's what comes. Now you start looking into the affairs of other people. You start meddling into theirs. And so it can frustrate you. And it can lead you into gossiping about other people. You and I need to aspire, make it our aim, make it our ambition that you and I attend to our own business. Look at the third one back in 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 11, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your own hands. You know, you and I need to have a good work ethic. I mean, we should be teaching our children that you need to work. There's something good when you work with your own hands and you accomplish something, isn't it? Oh, Lord knows that. And so, we want you to work. And why do we need to work with our own hands? Well, Paul tells the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28 that he who steals must steal no longer, but he must labor with his own hands, performing what is good so that he might have something to share with others who are in need. You see, when you work with your own hands in good things, it gives you the ability to help other people when they're in need. Many of us here have demonstrated that you've helped other people. But when you work with your own hands, you're able to do that. And so they're asking our ambition, and they are the apostles. In fact, he says at the end of verse 11, as we commanded you. This is a commandment. This isn't an option. These aren't suggestions. These are commandments that you and I need to make it our ambition to lead a quiet life, to attend to our own business, and to work with our own hands. That's the commandment of the Lord. Why is this so vital? Verse 12. So that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. You see, when you aren't making it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to attend your own business and work with your own hands, when you're not practicing love, you know what? You're going to find yourself in need one of these days. And it may not be a good need. He said that you behave properly. You know what our purpose is on this earth? Our purpose is to reach others for the name of Jesus. Go into all the world, making disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, the disciples, to observe all that I command you. This is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. We need to make disciples. I pray we are disciples, because disciples are learners from Jesus. And we need to learn what to expect. As we get ready to close out, as Paul penned these words to the church at Thessalonica, this little congregation, you know how they started? They didn't start in a quiet fashion. Yeah, they got arrested. They were wanting Paul, and they were angry at Paul. You go through Acts and you read the starting of the church at Thessalonica. And the townspeople and the council of town, they came and they took Jason, he's one of the brethren there at Thessalonica, and some of the other brethren, and they dragged them out and brought them to the center of the court in front of the people. And they said, man, you're instigating a riot. They're claiming the church. You know what Jason and the brethren, the rest of the church at Thessalonica did? Whatever this meant, they posted a peace bond to show we just want to lead a tranquil life. We just want to attend to our own business and just work with our own hands. And we're not here to cause any heartache in our community. And that should be our ambition. And that's what we're called for. I pray you'll go back and look at these words, because this is where we began to live on a higher plane, on a higher level. And so let's take this time and let's take the supper of our Lord. Thank you.